our spirit life. Praise the Lord. Let's open up our Bibles to Acts chapter 2. And then hold your place there because we're going to pray first. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus. And we lift up every leader in this nation. We thank you, Father, that when we pray for our leaders, we're going to have a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness through Christ Jesus. That's why we're doing it, because you told us to, and then you gave us the blessing for doing it. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we lift up our president. We lift up Congress and Senate. We lift up, Father, the Supreme Court. And we ask right now, Father, that you would continue to work in this nation, that you would cause it to rein itself in and to align itself with you. Father, we thank you that you're working in our president. Father, we thank you that you're causing him to be led more and more by you. We thank you for the godly counsel that he has in his own pastor, Paula White. We thank you, Father, that she's a spirit-filled, spirit-led, word-of-faith believer who has the ear of our president. We ask that you would give her godly counsel and wisdom for him. Father, we lift up the governors of the states of the United States, and we ask right now, Lord, that you would continue to move and to have your will be done in this nation. Father, we just call an end to all division and to all bitterness and envy and strife in Jesus' name. We take authority over it in the name of Jesus, especially here in Pollock Pines. We thank you, Father, that this is a quiet and peaceable place to live. We thank you, Father, that drugs are not a problem in this city anymore. We cast out the spirit of drug abuse in Jesus' name. We take authority over the spirit of witchcraft that's been trying to control this city for so many years, Lord. And we just take authority over it right now. And we cast out every evil spirit that is coming against your church and against the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take authority and we just declare right now that the Spirit of God resides in this place. We thank you, Father, that people are getting saved. They're turning away from drug abuse. They're turning away from witchcraft. They're turning to the everlasting God, the one who loves them, the one who can save them, the one who can set them free, the one who can remove the bondages. Oh, Father, we thank you for it right now. We lift up this church and the board and myself and those who are in positions of leadership in this church. God, we ask right now that you would help us to develop our spiritual lives, that you would help us to walk after your spirit, to walk in love, to walk in gentleness and kindness and mercy with one another. We thank you for that. We thank you for Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You said to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Shalom, the peace, nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything in its place. Any person who tries to divide the city of Jerusalem, you yourself will take care of. You yourself will take care of. Any politician, any political faction, any nation that tries to come against Israel, the apple of your eye, you yourself will condemn. Let's pray in tongues for a few minutes. Severing all bad soul ties in Jesus' name. Sever every bad soul tie in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What's a soul tie? A soul tie is where you're connected in your soul, in the soulish realm, to things that aren't of God. And we need to sever those things. Whatever they are, we need to sever them. Because they're contrary to God. Things that are contrary to God, we need to get rid of, don't we? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we're just severing right now in Jesus' name. You can receive that word right now. Just say, I receive severed soul ties that are bad for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when I was a kid, my mom was doing her hair in the bathroom. She was a beautician. And so she was always cutting at something and combing something and curling something. And, you know, did anybody ever know a beautician personally? You were one. A beautician, if they don't have anything else to do and they're getting ready, they can spend some time getting ready, can't they? Cutting and combing and, you know. Man, my mom. Anyway, I was standing in the bathroom and I was talking to my mom. I was a mama's boy. I was a mama's boy, and I was standing in there. I can still remember. Standing on the side of the bathtub, holding onto the shower rod that went across. Or trying to anyway. I don't think I was tall enough. I remember trying to reach it. My mom's getting ready, and she's praying in tongues. And man, she's got the most beautiful tongues. I mean, just sounds like another language. Like she's speaking Chinese or something. I mean, it's just beautiful. And I said, Mama, what are you doing? And she told me, and she said, do you want to do it too? And I said, yeah. So we prayed, and I got baptized with the Spirit right there in that bathroom with my mama. And it was not much. You know, it's like when a baby starts to talk. It's not much, right? You know, mama, dada, goo goo, gaga, poo poo, you know, die die. You know, those kinds of things. And that's what mine kind of sounded like. And my mom said, well, the more you exercise that, in other words, the more you use it, like learning another language, the more you exercise your language and tongues, the more proficient you'll become. Now, there's different areas in tongues. That's tongues for edification. But then there's diverse tongues, which is a gift. See, there's speaking in tongues, which is evidence of being baptized in the Spirit. See, every person, when we're born again, well, we just jumped into the message at the end. No, this is the end of my message for today. anyway, we'll just begin at the end. Diverse tongues is a gift, like prophecy or word of wisdom or word of knowledge. There's diversities of tongues. Diversities of tongues is what was happening there on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Look at that. I have my Bible open to Revelation. Well, I'm going to tell you Acts chapter 2, then I'm going to read something out of Acts chapter 1. Okay? After being assembled in Acts chapter 1, in verse 4, after being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That's an end-time teaching all wrapped up right there in that little verse. Okay? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses to me. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Okay, Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When Jesus is talking here about the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, see, I'm old-time Pentecostal. I'm always going to say Holy Ghost first. Because when I was growing up, it was the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Ghost. Now he's the Holy Spirit. Now some people just call him Holy Spirit. And that's fine. I have a whole group of people who call him Ruach HaKodesh, which is Hebrew for Holy Spirit. But we speak English. We're the English-speaking tribe. But when Jesus is talking there, he said the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. When you first believed and you were born again and you were baptized in water, did someone flush water through you? No, you got baptized into it, didn't you? And it was upon you, wasn't it? Well, it's the same with the Holy Spirit. When we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, see, when you're born again, every person who's born again has the Holy Spirit residing in them. You have the Spirit of God in you. You're sealed with the Spirit of promise, says Paul. Sealed. He's on the inside. He's in you. But there's a different experience beyond that. It's called being baptized in the Holy Spirit. See, these other people, see, they had been baptized. There was the baptism that John did in repentance. Let's look at Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. Remember that? So they're coming into Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said unto them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." Well, the church is relatively new at this point, isn't it? This is just Acts chapter 19. And he said to them, "Into what were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." What was John's baptism? Water. It's a baptism of repentance. John wasn't the first one to baptize people in water for repentance. But he was the one who came just before Jesus, who was baptizing people into repentance. He was the one making way, the path of the Lord. Indeed, Paul said, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, these people in Ephesus, they had not even heard about Jesus yet and been baptized into him. But these were people who were seeking after God. What happens when you seek after God? You're going to find him. You're going to find him. As they say in the South, you're going to find him. You're going to get him. He's going to get up in your business. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. He came upon them. Now see, they were baptized into the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes into you at the new birth, and he regenerates your spirit. He gives you a new heart that's after God. Then when you're baptized in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He comes upon you. Okay? So here. Verse 6. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Everywhere in the Bible, with the exception of two places, I think, you will find that when people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the evidence that this has happened is that they speak in tongues. Sometimes, I think the two times that it's not mentioned that they spoke in tongues, it says they prophesied. Right? Well, prophesying is one of the gifts of the Spirit. Okay? Tongues and prophesying. So the primary way that you're going to see this, and you know, the group I hang with, they like to say that tongues is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's what they call, it's the gateway. The gateway. You know, people say, well, marijuana is just a gateway drug. Well, you know, it is. I can attest to that. It was the gateway that got me into drugs. But tongues, in Acts chapter 2, they were all gathered together there. Do you know why they were gathered together there and all of these people were in Jerusalem at that time? For Pentecost. Pentecost didn't begin that Sunday. I don't even know if it was on a Sunday that year. We always honor and commemorate Pentecost Sunday, but it's actually the Jewish Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot. It's a counting of 50 weeks from Passover to Shavuot. Shavuot is one of the three feasts that Jewish people are required to be in Jerusalem at the temple. Why do you think that God chose that day to pour out his Spirit? Because he knew that his people would be gathered there, that they would come from all over, from different regions, to be obedient to God, So those who were obedient to God happened to be there on that day. I suppose it's a good thing that they were following the feasts of God, because that's where they found God. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost or Shavuot had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and this is the disciples. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were, dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them, the people in the upper room, speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans?" In other words, they're from the region there, locals, homeboys, local groans. They're not flatlanders. They're from here. Right? "And how is it that we hear them each in our own language in which we were born?" This is, well, let's just keep reading, because this is, okay. "Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed, perplexed, saying to one another, "What could this all mean?" Others mocking said, They are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was prophesied. It was assumed by many that these guys were drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. 9 o'clock in the morning. And they assumed they were drunk. Have you ever seen someone drunk? You ever seen somebody be drunk? Have you ever seen somebody just speaking another language? Have you ever assumed that the person speaking the other language was drunk because they were speaking another language, even though maybe it sounded like your English? We're not going to assume that these people thought that the disciples were drunk based on the fact that they were speaking their language, glorifying God. What do you think? This is great. So they all just come marching down out of the upper room, single file down the stairs, speaking in other tongues. Wow, it sounds like he's speaking my language, glorifying God. He must be drunk. No! Drunk people act a certain way, don't they? Don't they? They're, oh, come on, man. Woo! Oh, boy, was that a great night. I'm telling you what. Oh! You ever been drunk? It's okay. You don't have to raise your hands. You ever been high? Come on. I can say yes to all of it, okay? Listen, you're not acting like your mama making dinner when you're drunk. Or daddy driving home from work. When you're drunk, you're falling over. Man, I mean, you can't hardly stand up. Oh, you're stupid and you're just happy. You know what I'm saying? Drunk acts different than sober. These guys didn't just come marching down single file. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Oh, they must be drunk. Look, they're praising the Lord and speaking in other tongues at 9 o'clock in the morning. No, they acted a certain way, didn't they? Come on, when we're drunk, I've been drunk. And I've been drunk in the Holy Ghost. Oh, man, I'm telling you, drunk in the Holy Ghost. Oh, high on Jesus. And I used to, when I first got saved and people would say drunk in the Holy Ghost and high on Jesus, I thought, when I came back to the Lord in the 1990s, I thought, wow, they're just as carnal. Man, no, they weren't. They were having fun. It's fun to get drunk in the Holy Ghost. When you're drunk in the Holy Ghost, you know who you're not giving any time to? The devil. Come on. They were drunk in the Holy Ghost. Oh, come on. Let's go look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Remember, in Acts chapter 19, Paul had just gone and they were in Ephesus, right? And he was there, right? He laid hands on them, right? And they all got filled with the Spirit. And they all began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Well, chapter 5, we'll start in verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to read this out of the Contemporary Jewish Bible because I like it better there. Don't get drunk with wine because it makes you lose control. Instead, keep on being drunk or keep on being filled with the Spirit. Don't get drunk with wine because it makes you lose control. Come on, when you're drunk or you're high on drugs, you lose control. You do things you wouldn't normally do. But you're still under the influence of something else, right? When you're filled with the Spirit, why would Paul here in Ephesians, he's saying don't be drunk with wine, but be being filled with the Spirit. In other words, the wording that's used there is an ongoing keep being filled. Okay, when we were at Lighthouse, there was this sweet couple, and they used to call Kathy their granddaughter, and they fasted every Wednesday, and there was a move of the Spirit happening at the church. I think it was a Sunday night, and has anybody ever done a Jericho March in church? The Jericho March. I was thinking about that today when I was in the shower. I thought if anybody's done a Jericho March, it was Faye. And David. Jericho March is you get up and everybody runs around the church and you're running around the church and you're in the Spirit. And everybody's running around the church doing this Jericho March. And I don't even remember why we used to do them. But man, the Spirit of God kept them moving and we were doing it, and this couple was sitting there, and I stopped. I said, come on, join us. And they said, oh, no, we used to do stuff like that when we were young. But we don't do that anymore. Instead, keep on being filled with the Spirit. You know, someone could say, well, I got filled with the Spirit 20 years ago, and I spoke in tongues. Glory, hallelujah. I'm a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christian. Have you spoken tongues since then? Well, only when the Lord leads me to. Come on. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. I can go in my room, and I do this. And I go in my room, and I get down like this because it's dangerous not to. And I start praying in tongues and glorifying God. And pretty soon the weebles start in and the wobbles. And I'm praising the Lord. And, oh, glory to God, you know. And I can get drunk in the Holy Ghost in my own room. What am I doing? I'm getting filled with the Spirit. Do you let your car run out of gas? No. But we'd run out of the Spirit. We'd get to running and we're so dry and all the time we're just chasing after this and chasing after that and we're going here and going there and dropping kids off and picking kids up and going to swimming lessons and going to work, going to the store. Man, I got to go to Walmart again. You know, it's 20 minutes down the hill and back, you know, and it gets busy. right? Our lives are busy. Do you only know? It just takes a little while by yourself to get filled again. And then when you're running down to Walmart for the third time this week, it's a joy. And you can pray in tongues in your car when you go. You got to be careful, though, because they'll still pull you over for speeding and driving drunk. Actually happened, wasn't it Dana? Dana, who was here in September, she got pulled. She was praying in tongues and was drunk in the Holy Ghost driving her car, and she got pulled over. It's true. It's true. People who are filled with the Holy Spirit, man, that's when we say, "No, I don't want to be in control of every situation in my life. I want Jesus to overflow me. I want the Spirit of God to come upon me and overtake me and lead me and help me. Because Lord knows, Jesus, take the wheel. I can't do this by myself." When was the last time you took a big drink and got drunk in the Holy Ghost? Man, I'm telling you, up here, it was Sunday morning, man, I'm telling you what, and Faye had her hand up, and I was going around, and I put my hand on hers, and she and I, man, I mean, we topped off, didn't we? We topped off on Sunday morning together. I put my hand on hers, and man, we both started laughing. Drunk people laugh for no reason. Come on, you've been drunk, you know it. Or you've been seen drunk people, you know it, they laugh for no reason. You know, I remember getting high in the car with my friend Lucy. Man, we'd had 1,000 conversations. Couldn't remember a single one of them, but we laughed the entire time. But you know what? Getting drunk in the Holy Ghost is free. It's not against the law. It won't kill you, unless you're doing it while you're driving and you shouldn't be. You know, drive off the road. Hallelujah, Jesus didn't take the wheel that time. Come on. It's good to be full of the Holy Ghost. It's good to be drunk with Him. It's good to just let Him come on you and overtake you and just pour Himself over you and just to be immersed, you know, baptized. You know, we like to say it's like being pickled. Okay? You take that little cucumber and you put it in the pickling sauce, right? And then you put it in there, and you leave it for like 60 days or something like that, and you don't have a cucumber anymore. Now you've got a pickle. Well, once upon a time, I was a sinning Gentile. Now I'm not. I'm a glorified one. Once upon a time, I was a little cucumber. Now I'm pickled. You know, the more I talk about it up here, the more pickled I'm getting too. Yeah, it's the truth. The more you talk about something, you know, that we say, you know, you are what you eat. Well, I'm eating this up. I am eating this up. It is good to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is good to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's good to have the evidence of speaking in tongues. It's even better to do it all the time. All the time. People be looking. He's up there, he's in his shorts, no shoes, weebling and wobbling around, talking about being drunk. I hope there's no video of this, because somebody could take this out of context. Hallelujah. Come on, stand up. We're going to be done here in just a minute. Stand up. Everybody lift up your hands. Come on, I want you to start saying, "Fill me. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Oh, Father, fill us. Fill us with your Spirit to overflowing. Fill us to overflowing with your Spirit. Oh, baptize us fresh and new in your Spirit. Oh, we want to be baptized in your Spirit. Oh, we want to have you we want to smell like you. We want people to look at us and say, you're different. You're different. I'm different. Oh, Father, fill us to overflowing with your Spirit. Baptize us fresh and new. Oh, Father, I'm just asking right now in the name of Jesus that you begin to fill people with your Spirit, that they would begin to overflow with the presence of God. Oh, Father, I thank you right now that you are filling and refilling in Jesus' name.